knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is that Aldi has done it again. They have done it.
What? Done did what?
This is not an Aldi plug. We are not sponsored by Aldi, but...
Yet.
I've mentioned how, you know, they have that phenomenon where there's things that are available and then they aren't available.
Yes.
That it can be infuriating, but it can also be pretty wonderful because
limited time only type stuff.
But
yes.
They're never called that.
No.
They're never, it's not like a seasonal thing.
Uh-huh.
It's just a product is here and then we fucking ran out and it will never be here again.
I like that.
It's chaotic.
Yeah.
It's madness over there. Yeah. It's a free for all at the Aldi.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a certain farmer's market element that the Aldi still maintains.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. It's farm to table.
Well, it's something.
So I had brought up that there's a habanero cheese that I really liked. Better than a pepper jack, a habanero jack.
Yes, you brought it up with us on the show, not with Aldi.
Yeah,
you
have
not sent an email to Aldi.
But it was a sliced sandwich kind of habanero cheese.
Sure, sure.
And I've not been able to find it. It's not been back. Poking around the cheese section, I find snacking cheese habanero jack. That's right. So I got cheese sticks that are habanero jack. So I'm thrilled about that. I don't know if they've been there all along, but
Made by the same people?
I don't think so.
Oh.
It looks like it's different packaging.
Absolute chaos. Absolute chaos.
Yeah, but I don't know if they've been there all along and I just wasn't looking for them because I don't usually look for snacking cheese. That's not something that I have my eye out for.
Right.
And I don't know how long they'll be there, so I'm trying to take advantage of it and appreciate it while it's there.
Yeah, that is the thing about Aldi and scarcity, though, is that there is a part of you that's like, okay, am I going to buy one of these, which I want, or do I need to buy 10 in case I want one later?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I bought 2 bags.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's just how it works.
It's just in case. And you can't have too much habanero cheese in
the
house.
I don't think that's true, but I will go with that.
I've been munching on it.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm excited to see. I'll keep everyone updated to see when we run out of that at the store, and if I have bought it all.
I would like a running. Maybe that's your new year of the seltzer is just a tally of when things disappear at the Aldi you shop at.
I think I'd have to spend too much time there. Get binoculars.
Yeah, that's true. That would be fun.
I don't think they'd appreciate it.
That could be weird.
So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is my wife and I have been doing active stuff, activities.
Mm-hmm.
We went doing some of that, doing some bike riding.
We're trying bike riding?
No, the real kind.
Okay.
And the kind where you go to a third space and they've got a bike and it doesn't actually go anywhere, but you still ride it.
Like a gym?
Yeah, a gym. That's what
they call it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You should bring your VR headset to ride the bike at the gym.
I bet that would be cool.
I bet it would.
I bet it would.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing, the hard part of having a VR headset. All of a sudden, you're like, what if I just did this with a VR headset on?
Right.
That is diminishing returns.
Taking a bath in a VR setting. You can pretend it's like a volcano. You can pretend you're in like a little volcano pool.
Sure, with electric devices on your brain.
But it's not going to go in the path. You can keep it separated, right?
I have a tremor, so maybe not.
Maybe you should just keep this for Devin. She can do it.
I don't do fine motor skills, and I don't get into places where I might get electric.
All right, fine. No bath.
Okay.
The bike would be good.
Bike is good.
Uh-huh.
What else?
I guess like anything that requires movement is bad.
Yeah.
So jogging is no good.
My immediate next thought was like, oh, I should take it for a walk. And then I was like, nope, there's a reason that we do not do that, Jordan.
No, you keep that with augmented reality, like Pokemon.
Yeah.
But not VR.
Not VR. No. You stay in one place. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Traveling without moving, as Jamiroquai once foretold.
That was virtually insane. It's a good joke for old people. What else could you do? You could sit on the couch, obviously.
Obviously. Thinking of other places in the home
right.
to sit.
Yeah. Oh, you could sit on like a porch or something.
Oh, that's a good point. You could sit outside.
Because then you
could
pretend you have a much better view than you do.
That's really good idea.
Because then you could actually feel the breeze and stuff, and you could pretend that you're along a canal in Venice or something.
I think the only problem I have, a lot of stone, a lot of brickwork. Not a lot of comforting places if I run into something.
Well, that's why you stay stationary.
Well, I mean, that's the trouble.
Right. I think we've come back to this repeatedly, that is the trouble.
That is the trouble, is it not?
Yeah.
The trouble it is.
I'm sorry, I hijacked this, though. You all have been being active.
No, yeah, that's it. It's just good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's a good idea. Moving along.
Going to the gym.
You know what?
Riding a bike.
Actually, the reason that it's a bright spot, really, is like my shoulder and my knee are such garbage. And so I was doing a lot of activity. And then it got to the point now where it's like they get so sore and so terrible that I wouldn't be able to do anything. But with this, like, I realized that what I should be doing is just a little bit more regularly.
Sure.
Instead of being like, well, gonna do another hour and 20 to, you know, like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Slower, or like, lesser, but more, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And you gotta be thankful in a situation where your shoulders and knees are bad, that your head and your toes are okay.
Head, shoulders, knees, toes.
Right.
Yep.
Those are the four body parts.
The toes and the head, doing great.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's the middle bits.
Oof.
Significantly more space, though.
It is tough.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about March 22nd, 2004.
Ooh, interesting.
Going back to the past. I found something just too late.
Just too late.
Just too
just
late to have spared us
late.
From episode about
Ooh,
Howard Stern.
Ooh, damn.
So now we're trying to make up for it by having a proper Alex episode here. Also, it's come to my attention that I believe Jackson Hinkle is going to be on Alex's show.
What the fuck is a Jackson Hinkle?
I'm jealous of you. He's one of these guys.
Oh, God, that's not how you should start.
How would you describe him?
What is his...
I guess he kind of came up in a sort of... He's a streamer, I guess?
Okay.
I guess he did stream stuff.
Okay.
And he was kind of left, but a little aggressive, maybe.
All right, so he was one of those dudes.
And now he's just gone full, like, Putin supporter, right-wing kind of dickhead. But he's part of this younger generation. I think Alex is trying to desperately appeal to them on his way out the door.
I was leaning towards the left. I was mostly on the left, but then somebody was like, hey, stop being mean to non-white people. And I was like, well, I guess I have to be a full white nationalist now, don't I?
Well, and especially now that Alex has one guy in jail, and Harrison has moved up. Somebody named Chase Geyser is hanging around.
Chase Geyser.
Why not fill out that bullpen with some other angry white dudes?
Man. Oh, boy.
So, I don't know. They're going to be doing something on Thursday. So, we'll probably cover that on Monday, maybe. I don't know. But for now, last I saw, Alex was recording a short video of himself in front of a wall.
Ooh.
Which might have also been in his backyard. I'm not sure.
Sure.
But
you can have walls in your backyard.
Yeah. So Steven Crowder put out pages from that shooter that, do you remember this?
Yes. I actually read a little bit about that today, that he had posted like pages of the shooter's manifesto.
Yeah.
And everybody, but this was like fucking March.
What?
Wasn't it?
The shooting itself?
Yeah, it was
a ways back.
Yeah, it was a ways back.
And so the narrative in the right-wing media was that this was a trans shooter that was upset about gender stuff.
That's where we're
and
at. Okay.
That the man and the media and all that were suppressing this because they didn't want you to know that it was gender ideology that caused this shooting.
I was wondering why Steven Crowder had released it, and that's what I was hearing about. That's weird, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the obsession with the why won't you release this manifesto for a while. And then somehow, I guess Steven Crowder got a hold of a couple of pictures of pages from a notebook that this person had kept.
Sure.
And so Alex filmed a video of himself talking about how great this is. even though they've had to switch the narrative a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's no longer like this person was mad about gender issues.
Yeah.
It seems like they were just kind of mad and suicidal and violent.
Sure.
And so, yeah, Alex was pretty excited about that. So he had to jump on camera and say, hey, guys, think of me when you think of this.
How, I mean, boy, I feel like the more I'm thinking about this, the more I'm thinking Crowder himself might wind up in jail based on this.
I mean, I wonder.
Can you do that? I don't know if you can do that.
I wonder if there is like an inappropriate leak somewhere along the road. But I don't think Crowder would get in trouble for it. I think whoever gave it to him could.
Probably.
Because I would assume it's unauthorized.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I read over those pages that were released, and I wonder if there are more that weren't.
Sure.
I don't know. It's hard to get a picture of any of this stuff. And, you know, I think we've talked in the past about how shooter manifestos are always a little bit iffy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wouldn't even call what I saw a manifesto. It was sort of scribblings in a notebook.
We throw the word manifesto out a lot these days.
It's
true. I don't like throwing around that word.
And
it's a big word.
I did not even mean for this to be a topic we cover because I'm woefully unprepared to really fully discuss this.
For sure.
But I just bring it up because that's what got Alex to film himself in front of a wall.
Gotcha.
Other than that, I don't know what he's up to.
All right.
But I do know what he's up to in the past.
All right.
That's what we're going to be talking about here today.
Okay.
We'll be talking about March 22nd. 2004.
Sounds good.
But before we do, Jordan, let's say hello to one technocrat.
I think that's a great idea.
So this person, I don't know who this is, but I'm worried about them because I think they might actually know me because they're telling tales out of school about something that I don't think I've ever talked about. I'm not sure I've talked about it on the podcast.
So it's we're in an I know what you did last summer scenario right now.
I believe we may be.
We are in the okay.
And so thank you so much to Dan Still Puts Ketchup on Thanksgiving Turkey, and I have proof you are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
I don't know who that is. It's a humbling experience to see something like that come into mm-hmm. your inbox.
True.
I wonder what the proof is. Pictures of me eating turkey with ketchup, perhaps?
That is interesting.
I don't know. I don't discount the possibility that I've brought it up at some point in the podcast and I've forgotten.
I don't recall it, but that means very little.
True, but it is something that I think most people would have a visceral memory to, because it seems gross to a lot of people. Even myself, it feels a little gross.
Yeah, it's got one of those things where you know people would have like a, wait, everything doesn't pay, nothing matters until we get to the bottom of this ketchup on the turkey scenario.
Well, I mean, like, what, how's that any better than gravy? Come on. Gravy's gross.
I'm not wading into this. I feel like I just got tricked into a bare knuckle boxing match about ketchup and turkey. And sir, it ain't happening.
Okay, I'll leave you out of it. Okay. But anyway, happy Thanksgiving.
I guess. That's the lesson here. Yes. Yeah.
So Jordan, today we're going over this episode. It's going to be a brief episode because not a lot happens.
Not a lot happens.
But something pretty important does.
Okay.
And something that I found, like, it was really a bummer that I listened to this stretch of Alex's show and there was nothing going on, and then just past where I got to was this. Here is the beginning where Alex is at.
Later in the show, I want to tell you the ridiculous story of what happened when I went out to Crawford, Texas there at the little local municipal park to give a speech and to introduce Ralph Nader. And again, I'm not part of the Ralph Nader campaign. I know that the Greens are like watermelons, green on the outside, red on the inside. But he's speaking out against Gaffney, Gatt, 9/11, a lot of other things. And I was invited to give a speech to a whole bunch of people. And, you know, I'm not going to turn that down. I'll speak to the libertarians. I did at the Distinguished Speaker Series yesterday. That was a lot of fun. That was great to see everybody
distinguished
out there
are you
at the University
point.
Of Texas for that, in that packed meeting hall at the UT Union Building. But I went out there and I gave a speech, but the annex of the leftists that were there, the intelligence community, that's the name of the group up in Dallas that runs Nader's campaign and brought
the intelligence community.
And they're anti-New World Order, pro-gun. They were wearing pro-gun, you know, my mass murderers agree, gun control works, T-shirts. Just great people. They rented out the park. They got the permit. They brought Ralph Nader in, and the local leftist said, oh, let us have some of the time. You know, we're going to get the time before you. And so they did. And so they used Ralph Nader's people's sound system, everything. And when they saw that I was there and to speak, well, they tried to keep me from speaking beforehand and told me I wasn't welcome, even though the people that were with Nader had set it all up. I get there, and when this local UT professor sees me, he's up there speaking, he goes, Ralph Nader is the last speaker when he gets here. And by the way, Ralph Nader was to be there on the time of the intelligence community group that had set that up. And when they and when Nader got there, they literally had to have the police stand there and you know, give the gun grabbing socialist the cue to get off the stage so I could introduce Ralph Nader. I mean, it was just something else.
That is something else.
I want to see that. Yeah. I would have wanted to have been there for that.
I've seen pictures of it. I found pictures.
Yeah.
So I, you know, there is this documented evidence of this. There is a moment. Someone mistimed the picture.
Oh no!
But it's when Alex and Nader are about to shake hands on stage, like the welcoming.
Yeah.
But there's no contact. So in theory, Nader could have done the woo too slow.
It was almost like a boxing promo poster.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost ready to punch, but not happening.
Yeah. So there's a lot of details that are a little bit mixed up and messy here from Alex's telling. The first is that the intelligence community doesn't run Nader's campaign. Someone from Nader's campaign is now a part of this group, the intelligence community, that are like sort of pseudo-anarchical libertarian type anti-war activists.
Okay, but for sure the name is, quote, the intelligence community.
Yes.
Okay, that was the part that kept getting me, because I'm like,
I think it's a sort of satirical
name. Yeah. It makes sense, but it's also a...
It's pretty strange to see this, like, intersection, but at the same time, not too strange. Nader was always a bit on the outside in terms of being a candidate.
Sure.
He did go on InfoWars at a certain point. So, like, you know, it's not the craziest thing.
I mean, when you're where Nader was then, you got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So you might as well just go for it, you know?
I would say that Alex is unsafe at any volume.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was able to find a review of this event from someone writing for a website called Cryptogon, and it does not speak incredibly highly of Alex. And it should be said that this review was written by somebody who expresses an affinity for Alex and InfoWars, so it's not somebody who hates him.
Wow.
Here's how this person describes the performance.
Okay.
Quote, Alex was hamstrung by bad presentation technology. Like a lion away from his domain, once Alex is out of the studio, he goes a little crazy.
I'm going to need to call an editor on this one.
More pontification, more yelling. I think the physical constraints of radio, timed presentations, and video narration are a positive for Alex. Yeah, I'd say so.
Wow.
From seeing the speeches Alex has done in the past, I would tend to agree. He has a real difficult time staying on track. That's not different than how he is on the radio. It's just that in a live setting, he's competing for attention from 100 different stimuli, and you can feel an audience paying less attention to you when you're on stage.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's actually happening or not, you viscerally can feel it and feel like you need to compensate for it.
It is an impossible thing to explain to people, but in the back of my neck, I can see somebody in a crowd starting to look over away from
me.
You know, just like it's there.
It's
your
seventh sense.
Yeah.
So I was able to find a bunch of articles about this.
Yeah.
This event.
That's absurd.
And so I spent a great deal of time figuring out, like, what the fuck is going on with this? And apparently, at this event, there was also some anti-New World Order type bands who used obscenity in their songs. And Alex also used the word bastard, which got him in trouble with the family-friendly audience.
Sorry, what?
Yeah.
Is bastard that bad now?
Oh, yeah.
God, I don't even know anymore.
There was a police person there who told him to stop cussing.
Why are some things so thoroughly documented?
I don't know. I mean, Crawford, Texas is where Bush's ranch is.
Sure.
So the idea that there was this somewhat large anti-war demonstration happening. Right. And it was on the global day of, like, there were protests all around the country.
Yeah.
And all around the world. And that's something that Alex does not bring up.
Right.
Is that this was part of, like, a much larger...
No, it's all about Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ralph Nader was on tour through Texas, and he had an opening on that Saturday. Some anti-Iraq war activists had set up this rally in Crawford, and Nader agreed to be a part of it, thus bringing him and Alex's worlds together. It seems kind of crazy, like I mentioned, but he was on InfoWars, I think, in 2008, like in the next election cycle. So the two of them crossing paths is weird. And yeah. Alex is super clear that he's not endorsing Nader.
No, Nader
wasn't even supposed to be there in his capacity as a candidate. You know, he wasn't supposed to be there doing any kind of electioneering or anything.
That just has so much like a Curb Your Enthusiasm written all over it. That is the basis of an episode.
Wait. The plot gets better.
This is what I'm saying.
Because here's where you work this into your Curb episode.
Okay.
So this was the wrong day to do this kind of an event in Crawford. There's only a population of 700 people there, and according to the Midland Reporter Telegram, the city was doing a lot that day. Quote, Crawford also is hosting on Saturday a citywide garage sale, a rodeo, and the St. Paul Lutheran Church Cemetery Association's second annual chili and bean cook-off. So I was able to find an article where there was somebody who was talking about how he was just at the park for the chili cook-off and was frustrated by Nader being there. And they were worried about it taking away from the attendance at the chili cook-off.
The fucking parks department for 700 people is off the chain.
That's too much.
That is so much.
Yeah. Are you here? Do you support Nader? Do you support the war? I don't know. I just wanted to get beans.
Where's the town? Well, 30% of them are at the garage sale. 30% of them are at the rodeo. And then a bunch of them are watching Nader scream. I don't know. What do you want?
So there's also some problems with Alex's version of things.
Yeah.
So there was an event that was organized and planned by an anti-war group called the Crawford Peace House. They're a longstanding entity that holds rallies and peace demonstrations in Crawford and around there. And they have some connections to the Nader campaign. On their website, there is also like Nader's groups have donated to them. So there is a connection there. This is a different connection than the connection that Alex's group, the intelligence community, has with Nader.
Right.
So there are connections on both fronts.
Right.
If you look at pictures from this event, you'll find that their URL is in the backdrop of the stage. The Crawford Peace House website is on there because that was their event that they had set up.
Right.
They organized a Global Day of Action event, which involved speakers from 1 to 2 p.m., then a parade through Crawford, and then more speakers and entertainment from 3 to 5. Alex was set to speak at 7 because he was part of this offshoot after-hours continuation from that event, which was run by the group that he's talking about, the intelligence community.
Right.
So you had these two things that were happening at the same place.
Okay.
Yeah.
So which came first?
I have to assume that the one from the Crawford Peace House.
That's what I was thinking,
because
right?
I was able to find so much documentation of their event. There's a press release that they sent out. There's articles.
Yeah.
They built their own website for the march
and
event. Like, it was pretty well established. They also were the ones who were negotiating with the police for the permits and stuff was all through them.
So Alex's conception of, we had this thing already, and then these dumb socialist kids wanted to do an afternoon thing before us.
Right.
That may be...
Totally wrong.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for also from the things that I was able to see and find, it does appear that the intelligence community was the reason that Nader ended up speaking.
Right.
But he was also scheduled to speak with the group at the beginning. So...
What are you going to do?
It's messy.
What are you going to do?
It is messy.
Hey.
For what it's worth, I don't think Alex would have liked most of the speakers at the early day event.
Yeah.
I think he would have hated them.
Yeah, probably.
Like Fareed Farhamand from the Iranians for Justice and Peace, or Margarita Alvarez from United Voices for Immigration. He would have hated these peace speakers.
Yeah, those are green on the outside and red on the inside. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that.
So what I can tell, I think what happened is that Nader was supposed to speak at the beginning one, the Peace House and the intelligence community's event.
Two shows.
He was coming through Crawford that day.
Right.
It's my guess, because the time that he's supposed to speak is posted for the Crawford Peace House people, and that is not when he ended up speaking.
Okay.
So I believe what happened is he showed up late.
He got late, yeah.
And what ended up happening was that they used him as a bridge between the two events.
Sure.
So he spoke at the end,
right,
at 5 o'clock at the end of the Crawford Peace House,
gotcha,
event, and that led into the intelligence community event.
Okay.
And so because of this, Alex introduced him when he came up to stage.
Right.
That's the best that I can tell from, because there are articles about this and,
yeah,
shit, but there's nobody like explaining what the fuck happened here. Why didn't it go exactly according to the schedule,
right,
of events?
Right, right, right. Gotcha.
And stuff.
Okay. So yeah, so Nader got turned into the halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That
or
makes
the
sense.
Hinge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Okay. Now I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, fun. So you had Alex introduces Nader at the 5 o'clock slot. Nader gives his speech, and then a ton of people leave.
Right.
And then Alex,
obviously,
is set to speak at 7.
Obviously, yeah, very, very obviously.
And so Alex is the headliner, and now most of the people have left.
Oh.
Except for, you know, the sort of, I describe them as pseudo-anarchist types, but I'm not entirely sure if that's accurate.
Yeah.
I'm projecting a little bit of my experience with anti-war demonstrations,
sure,
around this time.
Sure.
Like, I know that there would be things in Colombia where, you know, the old hippies from the Peace Nook,
sure,
would put together some event, and then when the sun starts setting, the fire dancers,
yeah,
and maybe the people who,
yeah,
have some,
yeah,
fringe,
yeah,
ideas come out.
Sure.
And they take over the same space because,
yeah,
there's a captive audience.
Yeah, there's the time. Yeah,
yeah.
There's a time and a place for each.
Right. And, you know, maybe it's more fun for the youth, the night event, and more fun for the family, the daytime event.
Yeah.
And so... That's the general vibe that I get.
Right, right, right. The late show's rated R.
Mm.
Come on, people. Take your family to their early show. Late show's rated R. Let's go. Move on.
And I think that was the effect that happened, was a lot of people left.
That sounds right.
That was in some of the articles.
Yeah.
Most of the people
that sounds right
took off.
Yeah.
So Alex has some issues with the entertainment that happened there. Particularly one folk singer that he seems to be very focused on.
Folk singer.
I got video of all of this. About an hour before Nader got there, they had some local musician up there going, Mexico will take over America. America's evil. We will take the Southwest. We will bring down America. America is evil. Zapatista. Che Guevara.
I think we're getting a little...
You. I mean, it was an incredible little song. And of course,
a little cucaracha
there, preaching how bad America is, and then I got the word that some people were angry because I was a white male who's against open borders, and that's why they were so upset. And they were very upset by the Ralph Nader people who were wearing pro-gun shirts. Well, that really freaked them out, and they were just pulling their hair out.
Oh, they're freaking out. But yeah, this musician sounds not good. I mean, that song doesn't sound great.
It doesn't sound like a great song.
Mm-mm.
There are some composition errors, I would say.
Yeah. I read another review from a guy who was from the Republicans for Peace kind of group.
Sure.
And like, he had a really interesting perspective because so many of these events that you go out to, these anti-war demonstrations, are very hostile towards the right wing and,
sure,
and to Republicans. Because,
sure,
most, right, of them are organized by, you know, aging hippies.
Right, 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 right.
And so he was a real anomaly of a speaker choice that they had,
mm-hmm,
at the daytime event. And he also had some criticisms for the musical act.
Oh, yeah.
But they weren't the same. They were mostly like they were too pro-Kerry, too John Kerry-ish.
Sure. I mean, any musical act that is pro-Kerry is too pro-Kerry.
Yeah, he did, yeah, not talk about how they were singing about the Zapatistas.
Yeah, that's...
And how we're going to take Mexico.
I mean,
Mexico's going to take over America.
That's a more fun song.
It would be.
And also, Rage Against the Machine was still going on right now, so that literally was happening across the street.
Oh, no, Rage did play the nighttime event.
See, there we go.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. Killing in the name.
So Paul Joseph Watson shows up,
sure,
on this episode because at this point Alex is trying to brand his Monday appearances as like the Watson Report or something like that.
Sure,
I think he's trying to do some brand development.
I like it.
It's not going anywhere.
Nice little like NBC local news kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not at all an interesting time that they have.
Yeah.
Although, in order to understand this clip, you have to know that earlier in the show, Alex had gone on a little mini rant where he said that the United States has been under martial law since 1933.
1933 is an interesting year to pick.
It is, but it's also interesting because he's trying to stop martial law, but we're already under martial law, so that's an interesting dynamic.
Right.
Anyway, a caller calls in while Paul is also doing the Paul Report and wants to know, hey, man, what's up with that? What was up with that 1933 thing?
Yeah, yeah, let's find out.
In Virginia, go ahead.
Hey, two questions, one to you, Alex, and one to Paul. You mentioned earlier that we've been under martial law since 33. What was the legislation or event that caused that to come
about?
Good
question.
Number one, are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm in the lobby.
Okay, I'm just going to really understand you. Your
Why
question was martial law, the different increments of it. We've seen the same things in Europe. Paul, you want to take that question?
Great. Stall for a minute and then ask Paul.
That's the type of shit that you got to have a good partner for. That's what you need.
I talked some shit earlier. I forgot how I'm supposed to back this up. Paul?
I mean, you know, that really is like if Alex had not decided to like straight go it alone, if he had a co-host pretty regularly, think of the exhaust valve. Think of the release that would be possible for him to just go, hey, you're my underling. Tell them what I don't know.
I think he'd go through them pretty fast.
That's a
job with low retention
rates.
That
reminds me. That I immediately just thought of, if you remember Dinosaurs, they had a show where it was like a science show, and then the scientist would always wind up killing the kid. And
doesn't,
he'd be like, we're going to need another Timmy.
Dr. Benson Honeydew always end up killing Beaker?
No, Beaker never dies.
But he
gets blown up.
He's pretty close.
Listen, OSHA is not stoked about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Honeydew is a real libertarian.
there's a lot of anti-government regulations going on, yeah.
So here's Paul's answer after Alex throws it to him.
Paul, you want to take that question?
Well, yeah, it was the War Powers Act, which made the people the enemy of the government. Then with the national security apparatus of 1947, when that all came about, that's when the CIA was created, obviously, and then those clandestine operations started to take place.
All right, so that's an embarrassing answer. Alex has talked some shit, like I said, about how he'd been in martial law since 1933, and the best that Paul has to say is the War Powers Act and then the founding of national security.
Got him.
There's a quick couple problems. The first is that the War Powers Resolution was signed in 1973. What Paul is referring to is a colloquial term that's used by right-wing extremists when they talk about a non-existent thing called the War Powers Act of 1933. This was, it's about an amendment to the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917 that was passed 5 days after FDR came into office in 1933. It was emergency banking legislation, and part of it was a 3-day banking holiday where people couldn't withdraw large amounts of gold or money. Folks on the extreme right, like Alex and Paul, believe that this is the government effectively viewing the public as enemies, and that's why it's the first thing that Paul comes up with when he's trying to bail Alex out of that sinking ship. Unfortunately, the emergency declaration that Roosevelt put into effect was terminated, and along with that, the amendment to the Trading with the Enemy Act was repealed. Shitheads like Alex and Paul pretend that that isn't the case because it helps them scare the audience more easily and come up with cool things like War Powers Act.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good. It's just unbelievable that these folks are able to make these dramatic-ass pronouncements on air, like, we've been living under martial law for 71 years at the time of this recording, when this is what they're actually talking about. I get it. You don't like the government. That's fine. You just don't need to make up this extraneous bullshit to make that opposition to the government more interesting.
I mean, to
it's
me,
unnecessary.
I feel like it has, maybe I'm crazy, but I feel like it should have the complete opposite effect. Is like, if we've been under martial law since 1933, I'm all right. Okay, I guess martial law's not that bad.
I mean, what?
Still play football? I don't know. What do you want?
It does seem like martial law is not what it's made out to be, if that is the case.
I've watched a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen multiple
documentaries Alex has made with the title martial law.
Yeah, we have been to many martial law.
Right, and the definition, technically speaking,
you would think,
is that the military is in control of law
through violence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is not the state of affairs.
No.
It's just, but like, I think that there's such very easy ways to say you oppose the government and use reality to back it, as opposed to these imaginary We've been under martial law for 71 years secretly, and you just don't know it.
Yeah,
kind of stuff. It's more interesting, and I get how it hooks an audience in a more entertaining fashion.
Sure,
but it's a built on sand.
Okay, let me throw this out at you. We have been living under martial law since then.
Okay,
but here's what happens. All right, and it's not the big event. It's not the laws. It's not the stuff. It's that after the military has kind of been running things, it kind of goes on autopilot, and then you just kind of relax. You're not really paying much attention.
You think that tyranny automatically loosens its grip over time?
I mean, come on. You don't have the energy to tyrant.
It is exhausting.
It is so exhausting to tyrant.
You may be.
I'm
right.
Telling you. It happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. It's tyrannical dysfunction. It's TD.
Well, that's look at this. Look what I'm
a blue pill.
Look what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
What am I doing? I'm making a fist.
Oh, that's scary.
It requires the tension of so many muscles.
So many muscles.
Over time, you get tired, and then you got to open that fist.
You just got to take a nap.
You're right.
Yep, there you go.
So Alex takes another caller, mm-hmm. and this caller relates a story of how his coworkers are fucking with him.
Sure.
And Alex seems to not deal with it that way.
Okay.
Tim in Ohio. Tim, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Alex.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
I wanted to share a quick story with you. 2 weeks ago, I had printed up off of the website about the shooting in Long Island with the Freemason ritual. And I work in an institute of higher learning. The department is like three departments in one. One of the guys in one of the departments was a Mason. So I showed it to him and I asked him, you know, did they ever do this to you? And he got really stern, like his lip was trembling, and he said, no, we go right for sacrificing the lambs. And then at the end of last week, his supervisor, which is also involved in law enforcement, walked right up to me, stood 2 feet away, pretended to point a fake gun at my head, and pull the trigger. And when I said, hey, you better not miss when you do that, and he goes, oh, I don't, and he chuckles, and I go, well, you're all going to be replaced by the military. He goes, no, not military, predators.
Hey, what? Stay there. Everybody stay there.
Everybody stay there.
Wait.
Everybody stay there.
Wait.
You stay there. Everybody stay there.
No one move.
Yeah.
Traffic. Stop. Lights.
Everybody cool
off.
Out. Cool it. Cool
everybody,
it.
We got to deal with the fact that predators are taking over for the military.
I'm guessing he means like the alien versus
predator. Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I guess you could say predator drones.
Mm-mm.
No?
No. Cheaper. Predators... You get one predator,
mm-hmm.
100 regular soldiers. That
True.
Is way cutting down on
True.
Costs.
I do think it's inappropriate that this person would point a fake gun at this guy. I think that that's a hostile work environment.
I think anybody with a real gun shouldn't be allowed to point fake guns. You know, just that's a practice
thing. I think this is an HR issue for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But the rest of it is them fucking with him for sure.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
Yeah.
But everybody stay there.
I mean, he even came back with a little jape of his own with a little, hey, better make sure you don't miss. You know, like everybody knows.
I don't think that was a jape. I think he was being serious.
He kind of made it sound like he was passing it off like that, but
I'm not sure.
You're entirely
so has everyone stayed there?
I have not moved.
Okay, because we come back from break.
Okay.
And Alex has got to talk to him about this.
All right.
And to his credit, he does, like, a couple of these things, maybe they're jokes.
Sure.
But that doesn't stop him from taking some of this deadly seriously.
Jokes are all true.
I would take that quite seriously. I would get a micro recorder on you and go up and strike up a conversation with the security guy. And go, you know, the other day, why did you act like you were going to blow my head off?
No, this wasn't a security guy, Alex. This is a department head.
No, I understand, but he's the law enforcement guy, you said.
Yeah, he's also involved in part-time in law enforcement.
So I would go with a recorder up to him, and I'd say, hey, were you joking the other day when you said you were going to, you know, simulated blowing my head off? And get him on tape, then go to the police department and file a terroristic threat, because I take these people very seriously. So you're at your university, you show a Mason in your department the article with the Masons blowing people's heads off in rituals, and which seems to be quite a frequent occurrence around the globe, on accident, of course, always. And exactly what did he say to you again?
It was, it was like a standing around kind of thing, so I have other witnesses, and two guys were goofing around like, you know, karate, I can remove your heart with my two fingers.
Okay, if they're joking, then don't you know?
No. These other guys are joking.
If they're joking,
and I
don't
said,
do that.
Hey, you know, watch it. He can take your heart out with two fingers, and then this guy comes walking up, and he goes, "I only need one finger." And then he put the hands in the gun, and he pointed at me, and boom! like that.
Well, that may not have been interrelated then. But the other guy, when you said, you know, hey, what's going on with this? He, you said his lips started trembling, and he said, we go right to the goats.
Oh, yeah, he said that they don't do that. They just like to sacrifice the blood of the lambs. And I believe in the Bible, don't they say the lambs of God are us, right, as human beings?
Yeah, right. That's a very cryptic statement. So what did you say to him after he said that?
Well, I just kind of like walked away because the lip was trembling and he looked kind of angry. So
very good person. Paul, any comments? I mean,
Paul.
Paul, what do you have to say about this incredibly boring, banal exchange?
Paul, I was trying to take seriously these people who were fucking with this caller, and I stepped in it.
Paul, I can't even pretend. I can't even pretend anymore, man.
Paul, I asked for more details, and it turns out the guy pointing the gun thing was related to an entirely different workplace situation. Had nothing to do with the Mason stuff. Ah, shit. Paul.
Listen, Paul, why don't you talk about the real problem here? Somebody needs to deal with this HR-wise.
Mm-hmm.
This is an inappropriate conversation.
If we're going to take it from that perspective, sure. That doesn't sound like a well-managed office.
That's what we need to deal with here.
Yeah.
That's the conspiracy.
Yeah.
Management.
I think that, you know, the rest of it sounds just like people fucking around.
Yeah.
Like you do in an office.
Bantery kind of, you know.
Pointing a fake gun, I do think at a certain point you cross a line a little bit.
That. Especially not if you're somebody who has a real gun, don't point a fake gun.
And if you're in a, like he said, he's the department head. He's in a position of authority over these people. He should be setting a better example.
Yeah, absolutely not.
That said, that coming off, like the pointing a gun and like that, out of context, completely insane.
Yeah.
Coming after somebody says, I can take your heart out with two fingers,
right.
All I need is one finger.
Right.
That makes it a little bit less insane.
No, it makes sense. There's a track.
It's not somebody doing this out of nowhere.
No.
Which would be, this guy should be fired.
No, in this case, it's more like a step back and you go, what's wrong with dudes? Dudes are just, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Dudes just got to be handled.
Yeah. A little bit too much testosterone
causing
some aggro tendencies.
Yeah.
So Alex has to wrestle with the fact that there are people on the left and people on the right that oppose the war. And a lot of people on the right don't oppose the war. But also there's a lot of people on the right who don't oppose the war. It turns out a lot of them actually support it.
Uh-oh.
And Alex has to justify why that is.
Well, it's okay.
Folks. Hillary Clinton, John F. Kerry, Al Gore, Chucky Schumer, that whole crew in and out of Washington are all globalists. So is George W. Bush. Look at the actions, not the rhetoric. And so people see Hollywood and others that are wrong on almost all issues out there against the war. And that does a couple things. That lures people into the leftist movement to think, oh, it must be good, it must be right on everything if they're against this. But it also then allows the neocons to get up on TV and radio and point over at the socialists and go, oh, look, they're against the war. The war must be good. So we've got to get more sophisticated than that and see the big picture, because that's what's really happening.
Yeah, most people are more sophisticated than that. But that's what Alex's politics comes down to a lot. This opposition, this definition by opposition is such a problem for his brain.
Yeah.
You know, when he says stuff like, I just look at what the globalists are doing and I do the opposite, like, I do think he means that more than people give him credit for.
No, it is like, I genuinely feel like listening to him talk, it's like, man, maybe cartoons maybe they're right. Maybe if you just hit him in the head with a frying pan, it'll just like re-scramble his brain to the right spot, because he is making a that is an observation, you know, in times of complete chaos, you know, that kind of political alignment can change because people who are otherwise are Republican are anti-war and people who are otherwise anti-war, and then they get together and they figure out who they're getting lied to by, and then everybody kind of reshuffles. Like, that makes sense.
Right.
Right. That I get that.
Well,
he's able to recognize that and not then go, and that's what I'm here for, is a very infuriating thing.
I am here to capitalize on
exactly.
That. Exploit that tendency.
Look at my vampire teeth as I describe to you how delicious people taste to me.
Yeah, no, it is interesting that there come times when there are issues that are cross-partisan.
Sure.
And that opposition to the Iraq war could be one of them. where you end up in places and being exposed to things that maybe you wouldn't have been before from the the opposite side of the aisle.
Totally.
Most people, I think, and maybe this is me being naive, but most people have more underlying their politics than just the opposition, than just the single issue.
Right.
So, like, if I were to be in, like, communication with somebody who's on the right, who's opposed to the war, I would be able to agree with them about the war.
Right.
And then I'd also be able to retain the parts that I don't agree with them.
Right. That's what Alex is here for. Alex is here to help ease you along that transition, to help you go from saying, yes, I can agree with you that the war is bad, to your Republican friend. And then both of you sit together and you listen to Alex Jones, and then you create your own social reinforcement group, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what he does. He takes that that ability for you to go, I am an individual person who can tell the difference between all this stuff, and rips it from you and turns you into an info warrior.
That's the left-right paradigm being taken away.
That's
you've just described.
Yeah, maybe worse.
So we get back to the Nader speech.
Yeah.
And Alex says his tone is a little bit different when he brings this back up. And he seems to understand that the hippies, they had every right to be there.
Ooh.
And weren't just trying to stick on to his event.
Ouch.
I said I'd tell the story, so I will in just a few minutes. I am not a Green Party candidate. I am not a Ralph Nader promoter.
You're not a candidate?
I mean, he's better, obviously, on many issues than Bush and Kerry, the cousins, who are Skull and Bones members. But a month ago, I got invited to speak at a rally put on by a Ralph Nader campaign group, and they were good guys. You know, I got to Crawford, Texas. They were wearing pro-gun T-shirts. They were really a nice group of people. But the liberals that showed up had the stage before this group did, and boy, they were upset I was there. They told everybody, go home, don't listen to the next speaker, you know, don't listen to Alex Jones.
He's getting sandbagged.
We had the stage at 5 o'clock. I walked up there, and the lady running the other group ran up and tried to grab the microphone away from me. I just said, here, have it. Then they said, we're going to introduce Ralph Nader, and the people said, no, you're not. So I got to introduce him. I mean, it was incredible. And they had these speakers up there before Nader's group, who all, by the way, love Kerry. And they had a guy up there playing his banjo. Mexico will run America. America's evil and will fall. Our Soviet system will prevail. La,
more
la,
troubadour.
La, la, la.
Than
I mean, it was he was literally
folk,
saying
yeah.
all this. And it was just, I forgot how disgusting liberals are.
Oh, so disgusting.
Wow.
It's really focused on that singer, though.
With their songs about open borders.
Mm-hmm. And Zapatistas and Che Guevara and Mexico taking over America.
Well, you can't just enjoy a song, even if you disagree with the underlying political message, I guess?
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you something, Dan. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of rap songs that I enjoy, but I do not endorse their message. Sir.
Sure. There's even a lot of country songs that I enjoy that I do not appreciate their message. Alex. Well, but here's where the breakdown occurs.
Sure.
This song doesn't sound good from a from an audio standpoint. I don't think I would enjoy it even if I did disagree.
That's fair.
I think you'd have to hard agree in order to rationalize enjoying the song because it sounds like shit.
That would be difficult. Yeah.
It might be Alex's version of it though. I wasn't there.
It could be. I don't know. He is a pretty pitch perfect imitator.
It's too bad that his YouTube channel got taken down because I would assume this might be on it. And
oh yeah, that's true.
I could not find video from other people of as many articles as I could find discussing the stuff. I could not find the video.
There had to have been some video at some point.
Alex said he recorded stuff.
Wow.
Oh well.
2004 YouTube videos.
Yep. His old producer, Mike Hansen, has a channel that still has a bunch of old videos on it, and that wasn't on there, unfortunately.
Disappointing.
So everyone's being so mad to Alex. They're trying to get people to not listen to him.
So mad.
And so there was a UT professor who was the MC of the day event.
Uh-huh.
And apparently he was pretty mean to Alex, too.
Oh, no.
And then I had this UT professor come over and say some really mean things to me. I'm not even going to repeat what he said. He said, you can quote me on that, but I'm not going to give him what he wants. It's horrible.
Wait, so you can't quote him on
else.
That?
And right before I got up to speak, the professor got up and he said, leave immediately after this. Leave. Do not stay. Get in your cars. Get in the buses. Get out of here.
I would guess that what this is him saying, after Ralph Nader's speech, that's the end of our event.
Yeah, we're done. If you want to stay,
just
I guess.
Just clarifying that we don't have any responsibility for what happens after this.
I mean, you got on our bus, so the bus is leaving, so get on the bus. I mean, it's not even a real conversation, really, after this.
Well, I mean, if you are, like I said, and have said, the world general awareness of Alex Jones is minimal at this time.
Yeah.
But people in Central Texas,
they know.
A lot of them know who Alex Jones is.
Right.
And they would probably not want to be associated with whatever happens after this.
Yeah.
That's not us. Yeah. That's not the Crawford Peace House. All
right? Right.
And so that's probably what Alex is describing.
I'm liking Alex's characterization, though. I will. Yeah.
Leave immediately!
I'm seeing Andy Kindler in Home Movies in my head, you know? Just that, like... it's very good.
And there were probably 600 and something people there, and I'd say over half of them just immediately left with fear. Oh, we might hear something. Oh, we might. Let's get in our cars. So I got up there and introduced Ralph Nader. Then I gave my speech about the New World Order, and they had some very interesting bands. They had one that was a lounge singer group. I actually liked it called Shanghai Five. But, I mean, they're just... Neocons are terrified of waking up to the New World Order and what Bush is, and these liberals don't want to wake up to what Kerry is.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was just disgusting. I mean, it was, and they were vicious, vicious to me.
Oh, so mean. So mean to Alex. Poor Alex.
I really haven't, I you know, the word vicious, it's such a good word. It's such a, it's not onomatopoeic, but it is evocative through sound of its meaning, you know, vicious, that kind of aspect to it, to apply it to somebody being like, and you need to get back on the bus. That's
for me, the word vicious, I cannot hear it without thinking of that J5 song, Verbal Basketball, where vicious, malicious dunks from Vince Carter.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know why that word just it's plugged there.
We're every time we go back to 2004, we go back to 2004, don't
right.
we, Dan?
Yeah,
our references, everything.
Yep. Next, we're gonna talk about the entire track list of Quality Control. Is that the album? I think so.
I think it was. Yeah.
So everyone's mean to Alex, and that seems to be like one of his biggest points about this is like just that everyone is mean to him and he had a tough time and these dumb liberals, and you know, it takes away from the fact that this was part of a global day of protest against the Iraq war.
Yeah.
It intentionally misses the forest for the trees.
I'm sorry, what was the point of it?
Is Alex, people were mean to him.
That's what I thought you were trying to say.
I don't think at any point he even brings up that it was part of this global day of activism. I don't think there's any recognition that even happened.
I do appreciate the idea of like not having any idea why you're like yes, I came here to give an anti-war speech.
Yeah,
I didn't know there was a war going on that you guys were against. I here's what I thought. I'm booked to perform.
Yeah,
that's it.
I'm pretty sure that that day I was probably stoned in Peace Park at an anti-war demonstration.
I mean, yeah, there is a certain amount of Alex just being there, like, why is everybody taking this war shit so seriously all the time?
Well, and taking it out on me.
Yeah, and on me.
Poor me.
I'm a good guy.
So he seems really fixated on that folk singer.
I can see that.
My whole point is, I'll go speak to any group if it's around Central Texas. I can't travel much because I'm so busy doing radio broadcasts, but I certainly did enjoy going and speaking at that. But, I mean, that guy playing the banjo. Mexico runs America. We will soon have it. It will be ours.
You just don't like
the
banjo,
man. Even white males will pay. La, 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 la. I mean, literally singing that. Of course, he was a white guy. It's just incredible. You work for the bankers to break down America. You're incredible.
I'm sorry.
That banjo player works for the bankers.
The bankers are big. Big banjo is really throwing the lobbying dollars around these days.
Yeah, this event where maybe 600 people were there, which I contest based on the pictures that I've seen.
Right.
They got this This banjo player was in the pocket of the big banks, trying to lure people away from the chili and bean cook-off.
Warren Buffett, what do we do next? I'll tell you what we do. We get more banjo players, goddammit!
See, the vibe that I get is that this banjo riff about this guy is something that, like, maybe Alex and some of the guys who were at the event were doing.
Maybe they had a little fun with it.
Mexico will take America.
Dueling back and forth versions.
Exactly.
Of it.
Maybe the other people had better versions of it that were actually funny. And then Alex is just doing this bit on his show. That's the feeling that I get of this. Like, something that was fun in the moment.
Yeah,
in the riff
circle. I guess you had to be their story.
And Alex just won't let it go. He's just singing constantly.
Yeah, well, you know, whenever you're that type of person who just really needs somebody to say you're so great at everything, and then to have, because it's even worse for him too, is I bet he didn't even get much acknowledgement at all from that little circle. Like,
I bet he did.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
Because he's a star to them.
Maybe, but he's not funny.
No, that's true. But you laugh at when stars say things that aren't funny, when you're somebody who wants stars to think you're cool.
That is the story of Elvis, isn't it?
It's part of it.
Yep.
I think that maybe Alex got a couple laughs, polite laughs. But
polite
maybe
laughs.
Some of the other people were actually being funny.
Yeah.
And that creates the environment of this joke is killer.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why it's coming up over and over and over again on the show.
It has to be.
Because he does some more.
You will not stop us. The soft bus belongs to Mexico. La 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 la.
At least sing along with the song you're singing to.
La 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 la.
So this guy sung song after song like that, and they, one of them walked to me and said, "You're against the borders being open. You're a racist." And I went, "Well, George Bush is for open borders. Why are you for George Bush?" Literally, the lady just hissed at me. I mean, what's wrong with these people? Bunch of idiots.
I mean, someone actually hissed at him?
If somebody, I don't know. If you hiss at somebody, I don't think that makes it okay to call them an idiot.
I think that this just falls into the category of Alex having, like, visions of people responding poorly to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then again, you know, you wonder how much of that is just that embellishment for radio. Like with what Howard Stern was saying about the, you know, he got Alex to admit that he was just embellishing and making up the the New York detectives who were trying to kill him while he was in town for Piers Morgan. He probably is just... Like, if he was pushed on, were people actually hissing at you?
Sure.
Maybe I played it up in my mind.
Well, I mean, hyperbole.
Maybe I felt like I was in hostile territory because there were so many hippies around.
Right.
And maybe I came up with that in my mind.
Right. Well, but I mean, the conversation we're having isn't, is he doing it or is he not doing it?
Is it intentional or not?
Yeah, or even just like, in his mind... Did he actually literally see somebody hiss at him, despite the fact that in our outside reality, no one did?
Right.
You know, that's the interesting question.
I do believe someone probably said his politics on the border suck.
Yeah.
I imagine that did happen.
Yeah. Now, you could totally see in his brain, though, like them turning into like a weird monster movie going...
Yeah.
Immediately after that, and that is real.
We will flood the borders.
Yeah, to
Mexico's
him,
taking over America.
You know, he saw it. He saw it with like a chicken fried steak just blew out of his face.
And this becomes, I think, one of the central tensions that we'll never be able to resolve.
Yeah.
In the time in our show is how much of this is actually experienced by Alex.
Yeah.
And how much is embellishment or metaphorical.
Yeah.
And he's talked quite at length about how it is what he actually sees.
It does feel that way.
And so if you take him at his word, then it is not embellishment. It is literal demons that come up to him in the grocery store. People change faces.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I mean, it's
to what extent do you trust that?
Right. Like, as obviously, I have experienced any number of different, you
know.
You
were having a psychotic break.
Well, I mean, I understand. What I'm saying there is not that I, not that I understand his particular place so much as it is like, I know that the brain can turn things that aren't real to you.
Yes.
That kind of thing,
when
right?
you're under the influence of hallucinogens, you're having a psychosis, hallucination, or some kind of, yes, that is possible for your brain to do.
So in this case, Alex whenever, and you know, that's another interesting question to me. When Alex says to Howard Stern, maybe I was embellishing, is Alex actually lying there?
Right. To make himself not seem as insane as he actually is.
As somebody who is like, because otherwise he has to say, instead of him saying, oh, I was embellishing, he has to say, regardless of what you perceive in reality, I exist in a space where that person did that shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, so there's a sort of weird middle ground where he's unwell enough that he sees hallucinations
yes.
and perceptual distortions all around him.
Telling the truth.
Yet, he is well enough that he understands that other people don't see these things and he sometimes is going to have to equivocate and make it look like he doesn't if he gets pressed on the issue in a threatening environment.
If I were pressed to try and create a character under those constrictions, I think Alex would probably be what shows up.
But you would not expect that he'd end up a millionaire.
No. No.
Influential.
That's, see, if I was coming up with a character, it would be in a Twilight Zone scenario where he does become a millionaire and gets all the things he's ever dreamt. Oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
That's where we are.
Oh, goddamn Twilight Zone. I knew it.
And in that Twilight Zone episode, there would be a podcast that talks about him.
I've got such a weird bit.
Fuck. We're side characters in a Twilight Zone episode. Damn it.
I would rather be the side character in a Twilight Zone episode than the main character.
Generally, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, that's true. So actually, this brings us, we're at the end here. The rest of the episode is kind of filler and nothing worthwhile happens. Alex goes on a bit of a couple rants about Rumsfeld. He was on Meet the Press.
Sure.
And he said that he was trying to say that I never said that Iraq posed an imminent threat. And then the people on Meet the Press were like, here's you saying
that. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And it's like, haha, slam dunk on the part of Meet the Press.
Wow.
And then Alex just talks about how, oh, this guy, he's trying to say that he never said these things. I guess that was demonstrated in the clip.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of time spent on that.
There was so much promise in the early aughts, that idea of like, okay, well, now everything, like straight up, we can so quickly edit and cut short clips, play them so easily and digestibly that whenever we're having an interview with somebody like Rumsfeld, we can in real time be like, no, you said this.
The potential and things that are afforded to an adversarial press seem to be so promising.
It was like, oh, man, they won't be able to lie to us anymore.
Didn't quite work out.
Oh, God.
So Alex spoke at a Nader event. And it was confusing.
Yeah.
And turns out it sounds like he didn't have a great set.
I did, from what I've heard. Yeah.
But, you got to go out there. You got to do your thing.
The way he's describing it, even in...
No, I'm talking about from the article that I read.
Right,
like
he didn't
have a good set.
No, but I mean, for Alex, the way he's talking about it is not in the way that somebody who even had like an okay set would talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's somebody...
I lost half the audience to the chili cook-off.
Exactly. If that's reasonable. That's like, hey, man, you can't win against a chili cook-off. It was more like, hey, these people were mean to me.
These people were mean to me. I'm mad at this banjo player who no one knows who the fuck he is.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
All right, man. You worried about some local banjo player?
Well, when you put it like that.
This local banjo player's politics are too far to the left for me. Great.
Oh, God.
What a good use of time.
Oh, man. There's nothing quite like a national radio show to really go after the banjo issue.
Incessantly. So, Jordan, we'll be back for another episode, but until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm DZX Clark. See, talking about how there will be a bit here in the future has now become a bit. And I feel deflated in trying to find a way to what?
No, the bit is...
Long exhale.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.